Hey, you ready, Nikki?
I am, and Jeff and Rob should be good to go as well.
It's now 1:30. We'll call the meeting back to order after a nice leisurely lunch. We are on strategic planning briefing and public comment. Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This is Jeff Davis. I'm the Director of Conservation Policy at the department, and I have my teammate Rob and I think Carrie as well with us. Super excited to come back to you as we continue to make progress on the update to the agency's strategic plan. And I'm going to just be super duper brief, because what our goal is to be clear and concise in a 15 to 20 minute presentation, unless you ask for more from us, so that we can preserve time to have a conversation with you about where the draft plan is and what you'd like to see moving forward, as well as leave time for any sort of public comment. It's super important to us that we hear from as many people as possible, because this plan really is trying to up our game and deliver improved outcomes and services to all the residents of Washington. You might remember it was a little over a year ago that Director Suswin created my position as the Director of Conservation Policy. It's a position that's never been in the department in its history. And the objective, if I remember it correctly, was, hey, let's invest in broader conservation and put a focus on that, so that we can make sure that we're doing everything we can to influence recovery of listed species, but also improving the health of our landscape, such that we also are improving hunting opportunities and fishing opportunities, watchable wildlife, and other types of outdoor recreation while connecting with our communities more robustly. So with that said, we've been on a year journey. The first thing I've been tasked with in this position was update the strategic plan. So we're here today to kind of remind you of the process that we've gone through to date, and also walk through some of the high level pieces of the executive summary of the draft plan and share with you at least the format of the first strategy. So with that, maybe I should also say, sorry. We've been getting comments from a lot of folks, especially over the last 3-4 months. And I do want to say there are things like the commercial industries that we heard back from very recently. And we recognize that they're probably not as adequately visible in this draft, and we've heard that, and we have some great comments from those representatives, and we'll be looking, just like everyone else's comments, to incorporate that into the next draft that we ship to you all. So with that, I'm going to pass it off to Rob, who's going to walk us through the process and then walk through the highlights of the current draft plan.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the commission. So I am going to attempt to share my screen. We'll see if I can do it successfully here.
Hey, sorry, Rob, can I just say one more thing?
I'm going to pause sharing my screen. Jeff, would you like to say something?
I apologize. I'm dancing between a lot of different hot topics right now. I did also want to say that we've gotten a lot of comments. There's a couple different schools of thought around the strategic plan. A lot of people saying, hey, where's the rest of the work that the agency does? We don't see it in there. We're worried that it's not going to be prioritized. And that we'll just solely focus on the new strategic focus areas and strategies that we have in this current plan. And the whole objective of this plan, and typically in private sector strategic planning, is to focus on the new things that build upon the success and foundation of the work that you currently do. So we've kind of followed that principle in this, in that, for example, we're not walking away from hatchery production. We're not walking away from the things that we do in fisheries management or game management or diversity species surveys. This work that you see in this draft plan really is intended to be additive, make those efforts even more effective through time. And now I promise you, I'm shutting up.
All right, thank you, Jeff. So now I'm going to attempt to share my screen. And I'm actually going to pull up presentation. So just as a check, Jeff, could I just check with you? Do you see the screen? Do you see a slide?
He had a thumbs up.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so my purpose with you today is to inform you of the process we've been to get us here today. And that's going to include next steps. And then I'm going to change scenes for you and go to the draft plan that we, our most recent draft, give you highlights there, and then give you an opportunity for questions, and then allow time for public comment. So getting into the process, I'd like to use a timeline here. So after Jeff assumed his new role, we really kind of started in earnest last September. We used the help of about 120 of our senior managers to help us do that initial analysis of our challenges, our opportunities, and what were the themes we needed to consider. You'll see that's also the time we started regular recurring meetings with one of your subcommittees called the Big Tent Committee. And you'll see them throughout this whole timeline, giving us an opportunity to give them updates and them to give us guidance. Moving to October and November last year, we also started meeting with the Budget and Policy Advisory Group, a group of about 24, 25 members representing various stakeholders across our entire state. And you see the last two bullets there too. Jeff took those opportunities to introduce this process to a number of our tribal partners and inviting them to participate in this. We used December and January to really get out and talk to people. So internally, we had 8 different workshops across the entire state. About 150 staff members participated. It was also that time that either our director and or our director of conservation policy, Jeff, met with 21 stakeholders to hear from them. And then in February, March, again, more time with the Big Tent, the Budget and Policy Advisory Group. We've now got that December, January work of hearing from our staff and hearing from stakeholders. We did another staff workshop in February, March to help us create that initial draft plan. So it was in April of this year, we did come out with that initial draft. We kicked it off with a webinar for our staff, inviting them to read it and provide us comments. And then when we moved to May, we got another chance with the Budget and Policy Advisory Group. And now we have staff comments and guidance from the Big Tent. We created that second draft. And it's the second draft that then went out to our external partners, including the tribes. So here we are in June. We do have some stakeholder and tribe comments from that second draft, but we've also informed them that we were going to use June and July for public comment period, and we encourage them to take that time as well. So we expect to hear more from them. But with what we do have, we've now created that third draft, and that's the draft we're going to highlight for you today. That's the draft that we've released to the public, asking for their comments. And it's the beginning of that public review process. And so next is in July and August. So we're now going to collect all the public comment, update and adjust our plan. I believe we have a couple meetings with you along the way to share what we're hearing, as well as offer members of the public a chance to comment. The eventual goal of asking for your adoption of a plan at the end of August. So that's a high level show for you of our process to get where we are today. I'm now going to shift scenes on you. Let's see. Let's go to the plan. Okay. So here's the cover of the plan. I'm going to zoom in so we can actually see it. My intent here is not necessarily to go over all the content of the plan. We gave this to you, I believe, last Friday. We released it to the public just a few days ago. So I'm assuming there's not been much time to really get into the details, analyze it, and think about it. So my intent here is to go over just some highlights of it, to show you how it's organized, answer any initial questions you might have so it'll help you better understand it over the coming month. So with that, I'm going to scroll up, talk a little bit about the organization here with the table of contents. We have a couple placeholders here for letters from you, the commission, as well as our director. We use the executive summary to kind of set the stage and tell the story of the future we think we're going to see. What are those challenges, opportunities? What do we need to do? We try and do that in 5 pages. But the bulk of this document really addresses, from our analysis and our conclusions, we think there's are 5 strategies for us to pursue. And each of them are listed here. And I'll talk a little bit more about each of them as we go through this plan. And then finally, we've gotten a lot of help over this past year, and we wanted to make sure we took an opportunity to acknowledge that. So with that, just getting into the executive summary. Of course, mission's a good place to start there on the top left, highlighting our conservation role as well as our opportunity role. Acknowledging and reinforcing how valuable fish and wildlife are to all of us. And then the major stressors we're expecting for us to overcome and to consider in our planning, population growth, development pressure, especially with land use decisions, invasive species, changing climate, all of which now, you know, we see species and habitats in decline right now. And so we've got a bigger challenge in the future. So tomorrow, of course, is okay, how do we stem that rate of loss? Now in the document, you'll see a call out here on the left. This comes from one of our department policies. It's our conservation principles. It's what we use to help us make our decisions. We have a recognition in this plan that it's not just for our existing generations, it's for the future generations as well. And we're learning that people's relationship with fish and wildlife are shifting. You know, many more people now are expressing values of coexistence with fish and wildlife, but included amongst them is also the people that enjoy fishing and hunting. We're going to need to do better at making sure we keep pace of our public values as they change. Throughout this document, you'll see a lot of emphasis on collaboration. I think that came pretty clear to us throughout this whole planning process. We, the department, we don't have the authority or the mandate to do it all. We've got a lot of great partners in our state that we think we can do a better job working with. So in this plan and the purpose and scope, it's a long-term plan. We're thinking 25 years long. But as Jeff mentioned, it does not discuss all of our work. But instead, it really we're really wrestling with, okay, considering how we do things now, what are the things we needed to shift? And that's where the 5 strategies came from, is throughout that analysis and collaboration over the past year. Proactively addressing conservation challenges, building passionate constituencies through community engagement, connecting people to nature and conservation through recreation and stewardship, delivering science that informs Washington's most pressing fish and wildlife questions, and then moving our own department towards operational environmental excellence. With each of these strategies, it's a recognition how important performance measures are, not only with these strategies, but department-wide. You know, I mentioned 25-year time frame. Traditionally, at least in my experience with the department, strategies have been more tied to the budget cycle, 2 years, 4 years, six years. We wanted to take a more biological time frame approach. With 25 years, that can cover multiple generations of different species. But also by thinking that far out, that long of a picture, when we have to make decisions with the budget cycle, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, it's informing that bigger picture and, you know, helping us make sure we're making the right short-term decisions for the longer term. Then our plan tries to articulate desired future outcomes, not only here in this list you see on the screen, but we did the same thing for each of the strategies in this document. So that's kind of a highlight of the executive summary. And so the last thing I'd like to do for you before opening it up for questions is just go through the first strategy. Show you the highlights there, but the way that strategy is set up in this plan, that's how all the other strategies are set up as well. So to give you a sense of the organization. So our first strategy here, proactively address conservation challenges, highlights the need for connected, healthy, resilient habitats. It again reiterates and acknowledges that many populations are declining. And when that happens, it affects the satisfaction of our residents. So it's a growing need to do our work better. Also, especially with land use decisions, it's an opportunity here for how can we better help those decision makers choose decisions that support conservation, green space. We also think, you know, our current regulatory system is more discouraging to landowners, or discourages them from growing and maintaining habitat. So forces us to ask, okay, can't we give them more incentives and more help? So again, the theme that we've encountered through this whole process is becoming stronger collaborators, better collaborators, not only with the decision makers, but our other agencies and the public. So for each of the strategies, you know, here I'm going over number one, we kind of do that. What are the main challenges and what are the opportunities we see? And then we go into, okay, what do we need to do about it? So we call in the near-term actions. We're thinking, okay, in the first 4 years of this 25 years time frame, what are the major things we think we need to do? And you see some of them highlighted here for the first strategy, a statewide conservation roadmap, doing it with our partners, climate resiliency plan, expanding our efforts to recover at-risk species, you know, actions to, again, help with land use planning. And then you can see listed a variety of other plans for us to develop and implement. So for each of our strategies, we'll do that. What are the near-term things we think we need to do? But we also put a lot of thought into, okay, well, after that, that's the first 4 years, but what other things do we see coming down the horizon? And so you'll see listed other longer term actions. So for each strategy now, after near-term, long-term actions, we then offer also, what do we think right looks like 25 years for this strategy? And then we'll list descriptions of what we think that is. And then we'll also show, all right, for this strategy, what do we think are the performance indicators that'll help us judge whether it's going well or not, and where do we need to possibly change and adjust over time? So that's kind of the organization of the plan. So for each strategy, challenges and opportunities, near-term and long-term actions, outcomes, and indicators. So with that, I'm going to stop sharing and ask if there are any questions.
Any questions from the commission? I guess you did a really good job, Rob.
Oh, it looks like we've got one now, Larry, from Commissioner Thorburn.
Commissioner Thorburn, I see that now. Thank you.
Mine's not a question, just a comment on the process that Rob showed at the beginning, and then the result that we're seeing now, and looking forward to more input. But I just want to note that this has been, I think, greatly inclusive. I've actually, besides sitting on the Big Tent Committee and being included in these discussions, I also had the opportunity to sit in on some of the staff workshops. The team has been very responsive to input from wherever it's come, and I just think that makes it, and will make it, when we get to adopting it, an extremely strong document is to move conservation of our state's fish and wildlife forward into the future.
Thank you, Commissioner Thorburn. Any other questions? Okay, Jeff, continue on. Is there more?
Yeah, if I could just throw in a little bit more, and then if we all want to have a conversation, that's great. If you want to like save some time and get to the public comments, if there are any, that would be great too. As the public or you think about performance measures in particular, I think it's important for us to reiterate that we continue to we're in the process of pulling together internal staff focus groups that can take a look at our initial performance measures and help us further refine those. And it's also really important to us that our performance measures are transparent and hold us accountable to meet the public's needs. So it's one thing I'm really looking for is, what are the performance measures that the public that would allow the public to know how we're doing in the stewardship of fish and wildlife and meeting their expectations.
Jeff, a suggestion is perhaps, let me ask Tess, what do we have in the way of commenters lined up, Tess?
Well, let's officially get that ask out. So if you can raise your hand right now, if you're interested in providing public comment on this item, that's *9 if you have joined via the phone. And so I see one hand right now from Warren and Robert Sudar.
Jeff, what I was going to suggest is we could take what public comment we have, and that might spur some additional questions or comments from the commission. Okay. Go ahead, Tess. We'll take Warren.
All right, Warren.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I just read through the plan yesterday. In general, I really like the format, and as just a general member of the public, I found it pretty easy to engage with. The one comment I would like to make is that as I was thinking through how this would impact me, thinking about things like fishing and hunting season structures and how they're managed over the long term, I see like some components that would kind of help guide the thinking of managers, but I think there's also some opportunity to kind of make it a little bit more precise and guided. And kind of specifically what I mean, like I think in the first strategy, the kind of proactively addressing conservation challenges, I can see an outcome there that is like the quantity and quality of harvest opportunities provided is sustainable. Sounds reasonable. But I think there's a flip side to that where there could be a stronger kind of outreach effort amongst hunters and fishermen, and maybe a measure, a performance indicator of actually measuring the satisfaction of users with the season structure, with how things are actually being managed. I think there's tension there today, and potentially that tension could actually be addressed by a kind of more clear and transparent measure. And so you can also then show the people who are complaining, well, like, this is how we're measuring things. This is your opportunity to sort of provide feedback. I can see down the road that along with our harvest surveys, you could also have a kind of hunter satisfaction or fisher satisfaction with season structures and have that as part of your kind of ongoing management decisions.
Very good comments, Warren. Thank you for that. Any questions of Warren from the commission? Hearing none, thank you, Warren. We're up to Robert Sudar now, are we, Tess?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, commissioners, for this opportunity to comment. I appreciated Mr. Davis's comments about enhancing a bit the commercial aspect of what's in this strategic plan. When I first read it over, I thought it was woefully short, and I'm glad that he recognizes that there is some room to expand that. The department's doing a lot of things, some things to help us, such as the marketing plan. I know Carrie's worked with me on that, and I think that's important to everybody in the state. Locavores aren't just people who harvest their own food. They're people who buy locally produced food. So I would like to see a little more commercial representation on the various work groups, but I appreciate this chance to comment, and I'm looking forward to seeing the next version. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert, for your comments. Any questions of Robert?
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Commissioner McKaysey.
Thank you. Mr. Sudar, you've been very good at providing some written comments in the Columbia River arena. On this matter of the strategic plan, it might be useful for the staff to see some specifics as to where you think language should be put in and what kind of language. And so I would just encourage your involvement in submitting something for the staff to have a look at.
I will work at that. I intended to fill out at least the online form, and I've been a little overwhelmed with other comments. You probably are all overwhelmed by my comments, and so but I won't let the opportunity pass. Thank you very much.
Robert, thank you. Tess, we have one more on the phone line.
Yeah, it looks like a phone number ending in 1550. If you want to go ahead and state your name.
Yes, this is Bryce Devine. I was signed up this morning to testify, and then I didn't participate, and I see you're ahead of schedule. I just got the notice a minute ago, so I jumped on. I wanted to comment on the Columbia River policy. I've been participating in the select area fisheries in Oregon this spring. And I've, as of June 6th, the total catch was 2,130 fish so far. I've been going about three times a week whenever it's in, fishing a tide a day, and I've been very poor. I've got 50 fish so far for the year. So if you take the average that out, the participation is really low. We don't have any select area operations in Washington State. Oregon's providing the only thing so far, and it's Oregon's is really weak. And I mean, we're desperately in need of this reform going forward because this fishery is just dying. And if we're going to have commercial fisheries continue in Washington, we need some support through this Columbia River reform action. So anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Bryce, this is Commissioner Carpenter. We are on the strategic plan planning agenda. The next item up is the Columbia River discussion. I don't know how long the wait might be there, but do you want to wait and talk on that and speak on that agenda, or we can just take what you said? I mean, it's your call. I just want to give you that option.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're, I know how the testimony goes. You have a long line of people, and I think you've heard what I have to say. I could say more, but I think you kind of get the drift of where I'm at. So thank you for listening to me and forego the next session.
Okay. Bryce, thank you for your comments. Any questions of Bryce? Okay. Jeff, that concludes the open public comment piece. Does anyone on the commission have any follow-up comments, discussion for staff?
Barbara does.
I see your hand now, Barbara. Commissioner Baker, please.
This isn't well, my comment for staff is much like Nate said yesterday. Jeff and the people that are working with him on this thing have done yeoman's work. For the commission, though, I wanted to make a couple of points. We in the Big Tent Committee, well, wait a minute, I want to start this. You know, we've all heard this saying that the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. And that's the way I look at this plan. When we started it, and Kelly Suswind and Jeff were talking about 25 years, I was personally kind of, I shrugged at that. I said, that's too far. You know, we need to get to work now. And through this process, as we've figured out how this plan works, I am absolutely convinced that that was the right way to go. Many of the species that we are charged with protecting and the rest of that have lifespans that, you know, that we'll only have a few lifespans between now and 25 years. But my hope very strongly is that the people who are in our seats in 25 years look back and say, dang, it's a really good thing that they were foresighted enough to look at the pressures that were going to be laid upon our fish, our wildlife, and our lands, and figure out ways to try to continue to do the conservation work that we have to do. That's what this plan is about. This is a change document, and it in no way is designed to think ahead about, you know, who's going to be catching which fish or wildlife conflict or those types of the battles that we work on every single day. We're going to keep doing that. There's nothing to say that we won't still be doing the work that we are doing now and have done since I've been on the commission. This is looking ahead, trying to make sure that in 25 years there are fish to catch and there are elk to shoot and watch and photograph and land to walk on for the citizens of this state. The things that were alluded to, but maybe not called out completely, is that there are two prongs to this plan that are pretty important. One is that we are going to try to envision what we need to do in the short term and as we head toward 25 years, but we can't do all of that or even part of it by ourselves. We have to establish strong partnerships, maybe stop competing with some of the other natural resource agencies. We have to really work to get the nonprofits that have all been so helpful in their own ways and try to get people together and figure out what we can each do to further this mission. And then the other thing is the buzzword's relevancy. We need to have what we do be understood by all the citizens of this state, not just the people that currently use our services. And so the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. I think we're planting a little bitty twig now, and I'm pretty proud of the way it is unfolding. I look forward to crisper performance measures so that it actually really means something. But I think that that the people at the agency have really stepped up on this one. And if we actually get anything close to this adopted by the commission, I actually think it's going to be it'll be an example for other states. There are other states currently interested in what we're doing and watching us pretty closely. So I'm pretty proud of us right now.
Good comments, Commissioner Baker. Commissioner Bukaisik.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Baker and Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner Smith have all said very complimentary things about the staff, and I want to agree to that. As a newcomer to the Big Tent Committee, they deserve a lot of credit. But I'd also like to recognize Commissioner Baker on this matter. She's been very persistent at the Big Tent Committee, bringing this kind of thing up, and on those occasions, giving the kind of inspirational talk that she just did right there that has really kept this ball running. And it's good to have that kind of big overview always in the focus of the bigger goal. And so anyway, I just want to say thanks to Commissioner Baker for her leadership on this to get us to this point, and we look forward to the month of August.
Thank you, Commissioner Bukaisik. Okay, Jeff, Rob, thank you very, very much. Look forward to hearing more. I think you're on a positive track here, and appreciate the positive perspectives.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner.
Okay.